Pastor, Miss Audrey, and family in prayer as they're going through this time. Undoubtedly, it's got to be rough on each and every one of them, but thank God we have the comfort of knowing that for the child of God, the end here isn't the end. We go to a better place. We get to be with the Lord, and thank God we have that comfort, even though the pain here of the loss, but we have a comfort in knowing that one day we'll be with them again. Tonight, if you would, go to, in your Bibles, go ahead and take them and get to Luke chapter 16 tonight. We'll begin in verse 19. Last time I preached, I so badly wanted to preach this message, but the Lord just didn't give me the ability to preach this. And tonight, the Lord has given me the green light to go ahead and preach this message, and I thank Him for it. It's something that's been kind of burdened on my heart lately, and it's something that each and every one of us need to hear. Very important. And tonight, if you would, just go ahead and we'll begin in verse 19, and then we'll go ahead and we'll read the passage, and we'll pray, and we'll get on into the message tonight. It says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, and there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence or from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Lord, I just want to thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, Lord, tonight. Lord, to preach your word, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that hearts will be open tonight. Those that have come here, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, and for each one that's listening over the live stream, Lord. I pray, God, that your word will not return unto you void, Lord. Lord, that hearts be changed, Lord, and that, through this, Lord, that you would be blessed and you be magnified, Lord, and all that's done and said tonight, Lord. Lord, thank you for your goodness. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight, what I want to preach on is there's one in hell and five on the way. There's one in hell and five on the way. This account here is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And for most of us that's been in church any amount of time, we know the story of Lazarus and the rich man. But I believe we overlook sometimes some points in this passage that have some very significant meaning to them. And by the end of this sermon tonight, I have two main points I really wanted you to get out of tonight's message. I guess really two main focuses, if you will. There's more than obviously two points, and I know everybody's signed with that. But there's going to be two main things I want to get at. If you're not saved tonight, get saved. The day is the day of salvation. It's never too late to just go ahead and, I'm sorry, it is going to be one day too late, but now is the day of salvation. It's time to get saved. But if you if you are saved, now is the time to get a burden for the lost. Those are my main focuses tonight that I want to get across to you. And I pray that the Lord would be able to burden your heart tonight in either one of those areas. The rich man was burning in hell and begging for Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his brothers. We see here in the text, and we see that Lazarus, here his testimony on earth. What do we read about Lazarus here? We see that he was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at the gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What we know from Lazarus is that he was a poor man, and he was full of sores, and he was a hungry man. And he wanted to be fed from the rich man's table, and the dogs had to come and lick his sores here. That's what we're reading about the rich man and Lazarus here. But Lazarus had a testimony. Even though he was a poor man, and even though that his status here on earth looked like he was nobody and that he had nothing, he meant something to this rich man. The rich man here was so compelled in hell that he said, "Send Lazarus that he might warn my brothers, lest they also come into this place of torment." Could it be said of us tonight that we have a testimony from those that have died and went to hell, that please send brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so to warn my family? Oftentimes I feel like that's not the case. And I pray that God, that one day we wouldn't just give in to our selfish desires, and we would actually do what the Lord would have us to do. We see here that Lazarus had a great testimony to this rich man. But we see here that he was begging Lazarus to go and warn his brothers, because he had five brothers on the way to hell. He was in hell himself. He's burning. He's in such torment and pain. And what does he say? He says, "Well, if I'm not going to get any type of relief, send Lazarus to warn my five brothers, because they're going to come to this place of torment." Well, whenever I was talking about this message and I was going over this, I was talking with Miss Abby, and I asked her, I said, "Name in your family, on your side of the family, can you name, how many people can you name that are lost, that you know are lost?" And right off the top of her head, she was able to name 11. I did it on my side of the family, and I got 10 right off the bat, just not even thinking, not even really having to dig into it. I got 10 family members I know for a fact that are on their way to hell. They've never made a profession of faith. They don't want nothing to do with God. And they're on their way to hell tonight. I did a little bit of research. How many family members in your life right now, just think, in your own life, how many people do you know in your family that's not saved? Think about it. How many people you know that are right now dying and going to hell? Can you think about it? Is it more than five? This man right here, he had five people that he knew was dying and going to hell. I did a little bit of research. And I did it on last year's total death. I looked at the World Health Organization and the Pew Research Studies. And I'm going to break down some statistics for you that's going to shock you. It shocked me when I seen it. It broke my heart. Last year, according to the World Health Organization, they state that an average of 383,000 people died each day in 2019. The Pew Research Study has stated that they know that approximately 68,000 people died each 68,000 people died each day in 2019 without ever hearing the gospel. That's places that the gospel has never reached. They have died and they have went to hell. 68,000 people a day. That's not over the entire course of the year. That is every single day. And some more shocking numbers. That means that every 0.8 of a second, a person died and went to hell last year. Obviously, we know the population of the world is more this year than it was last year. So how much more this year are people dying and going to hell? Those are people that never heard the gospel. Never once had an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, because somewhere along the way, we as Christians didn't do our part to get the gospel out to where they are. It's 2020. We have technology like we've never had before. But why is it that there's still remote places in the world? And I understand there's communism and there's different places where persecution's heavy. But I'm not talking about some of those places. There's some islands out in this earth that have never had a person go to that area to tell those people about it. And what that oftentimes is not the struggles that you have that comes from the government or something like that. It comes from a lack of Christians willing to serve God. And that's to our shame. What based off those numbers from last year, if we take those numbers and we apply it to today, that means that by the time that this sermon is over tonight, by the service is over, give or take, there will be about 3,000 souls that have died and went to hell during this message. 3,000 people. I want you to take back a time and count your family members that you know that are lost. 3,000 people are dying and going to hell by the time that this message is going to be over tonight. That ought to do something to us. That should burden us. Why is this so important? Why do you say, Brother Ryan, it's a Wednesday night, why are you preaching on hell? Because one is in hell and five are on the way. But can I say tonight, how many people in our lives do we know that are dying and going to hell? But we're not promised tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow is ever going to come for some people. Oftentimes, people will say here and there that, well, it's okay, I can get saved tomorrow. That's the biggest lie that the devil ever told somebody, is that I can get saved tomorrow. And it just burdens me because there's so many people that, well, you know what, it's okay. I want to live in what I want to live in now. I want to live in the sin and the pleasure that comes, and I want to live in it today. It's okay. It's okay. I can live in my sin today and tomorrow, I will get saved, I'll get my life cleaned up, everything will be fine. Well, friend, let me tell you something. That's not going to be the case. One of these days where you just keep on procrastinating and pushing it off, one of these days, it's going to be your last day. One of these days, that opportunity is not going to be there for you no more. And just like these people that are, these 3,000 souls that are going to die and go to hell while we're preaching and while you're sitting in this service tonight, while those 3,000 people today, they could think, well, 20 years from now, I'm going to go do this. But in the next second, they could die of a heart attack and slip off into eternity. There's an urgency about this. And tonight, God has burdened my heart about this. There's one in hell and five on the way. Let's look at the cause of the man in hell. What causes this rich man to go to hell? You ask most people, why was the rich man in hell? Some people would say, well, the Bible says he was rich. That's why he went to hell. He fared sumptuously every day. And Lazarus, he was a poor and he was a beggar. And that's why he went to heaven. Well, no, friend, that's not the case. And actually, later on, it tells us in the verse. It says, verse 30 of our text here. Luke 16:30, it says, and he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, here's the key part here, they will repent. And friend, today, if you've never repented of your sins, it is required of you that you need to repent of your sins. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross of Calvary. But you need to understand that nothing in this world is going to save you other than the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to repent. This man was in hell, and it is in hell tonight. If you go back to where he cried out, when he died, he was buried. And in verse 23, it says, and in hell he lift. He lift. That is present tense. He is lifting his eyes up right now. It wasn't that he lifted his eyes up and is burning and it just burnt up like the Mormons would have you to believe that their soul sleep and all this junk. No, friend. And he lifted up his eyes. It is present tense. He is still burning. He is still in the same pain today that he was in when the Lord recorded this. He is still burning in hell. But why was he there? He was there because he would not repent. He would not repent. He chose not to repent. He chose the temporary comforts of this world over the eternal destination of his soul. And so many people today are doing the same exact thing that this rich man did. It says that this man was clothed in purple and in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. That purple is an indication of royalty. It doesn't say that he was a king, but it's an indication, especially during that time period, that he was some type of royalty. And he had all that this world had to offer. And friend, everything that this world has to offer, it's nice, it's good, and so forth, but it's never going to satisfy God. This man, he was rich, he was royal. But he took that in place of his, he took that as his God. That took place of God in his life. And we see here that he didn't repent. It sounds a lot like us today. When we're young, we have distractions, we have school, we have sports, we have everything to distract us. And when we grow older, we're consumed with our jobs, colleges, relationships. We have bills to pay, children to raise. And eventually, time gets away from us. Richman's problem wasn't that he didn't pray or he didn't go to the synagogue as was required to him. No, friend, it was that he did not repent of his sins. He didn't get a hold of God. He loved his wealth a little bit too much. When we look at the rich man here, and we see that he was clothed in purple and fine linen, we see how to everyone on earth he was a successful man. We have too many people that nowadays we look up to them. And unfortunately, a lot of our children fall into this. You see who all these sports players and whatnot, and they see these people, and they've made tons of money, and they're doing well for themselves, and they can have everything they want. They can have a mansion in Florida and the Bahamas, every place warm here on earth. They don't have to go to a cold place. They can just do it. They can have their helicopters, their airplanes, and it seems so wonderful. And it seems that's what success is. And friend, that is what the problem in our generation is. We judge success by how much possession that you have, but understanding that God was the one that gives the increase. It's God that gives the increase. What you have in your life, everything that you have, everything that you think that you own, God owns that. And it's God's. But when we try to say, well, this man was so successful, he was royalty, and he had so much money, but what did that do for him in eternity? And friend, this American dream that so many people talk about, and we're hearing especially now with the elections and everything like that, the American dream is going to send people to hell, and it's sending people to hell each and every day. Yes, it's wonderful to be able to come to this land and have the freedoms that we have, and to be able to come and have a nice house and have a nice job. That's great. But why is it that there were 68,000 people that died each day and went to hell? Never heard the gospel last year. How much higher is that today? That's absolutely unacceptable. Absolutely unacceptable on our part. That's 68,000 people that died without ever hearing the gospel. We can't even count how many people have had an opportunity to hear the gospel and reject it. But we know that 68,000 people have heard the gospel or never had an opportunity to hear the gospel and died and went to hell. But that's not burdening our hearts because, well, brother so-and-so, he just got a brand new boat. And sister so-and-so just got a raise. And if I don't work hard enough, I ain't going to get that raise so I can get that boat. Our focus is on the wrong things. This rich man died and went to hell because his focus was on his possessions. He didn't repent of his sins. It was too late for him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 says, "And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Everything that we have, all the riches that this man had, if he would have came and he tried to pay for his sins with that, it's never going to be enough. But One time, Jesus Christ had to come to this earth and die, made a sacrifice, and it is enough. It satisfied Almighty God. Why was the man in hell? He refused to repent. Also, it was appointed unto man once to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "As it appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." The reason, it's appointed unto man is because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." What is a wage? A wage is a payment that you earn for a work that you performed. Before, or because of Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, We being descendants of them are sinners. We are sinners by birth, sinners by nature, and sinners by choice. The payment for our sin is death, and someone has to die. And who is that going to be the day that's going to die? You see, one of the most foolish things that could ever be done is that you die and go to hell for something that's already been paid for. Jesus Christ obviously died on the cross for our sins, and thank God that he was willing to come as a perfect and sinless sacrifice for us. But how foolish do we have to be to go through this life and say, what I've done is good enough. My good works, yeah, Jesus Christ, he came to this earth and that was great, but my works are good enough. Here, take my works, Lord, and compare them to Jesus Christ. How foolish. How foolish. We are sinners. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And it's not just a physical death that each and every one of us is going to face. It's a eternal death. Many people today believe that God loves them just the way that they are and the sin that they are in, and that no man is to judge them. I oftentimes hear that the Bible says, judge not. Although people take that out of context, they don't read the rest of the verse. And 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what God says, and that's what we're supposed to do. But a lot of times people take that out of context because they don't know how to study their Bible. But many people make that claim. God loves me the way I am and the sin that I'm in. But what they don't understand is that they've already been already judged by God. I am not judging you. If I tell you today that if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are going to die and go to hell, that is not me judging you. That is me stating a fact. That is me stating what God has already done. God has already judged you, and you are already condemned to die and go to hell. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is the enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You can't be a Christian today. We can't be friends with this world. We need to go and yes, we need to tell everybody that we can, especially in the day that we're in right now, that Jesus Christ is coming, and now is the day of the salvation. Don't wait until tomorrow. Every single day, last year, 68,000 people that never heard the gospel died and went to hell. And each and every day, that means 0.8 of a second, someone is dying and going to hell. Don't wait. That means that now is the time that we need to get out there and tell somebody about the Lord. We don't have time. I told you that within the time that this message is going on, and by the time that our service is over, by the time of singing and the preaching and so forth and the fellowship, by the time that this service is over, 3,000 souls, give or take, are going to have died and went to hell based off of the numbers from last year. 3,000 souls dead in hell. They're lifting up their highs in torment. And they're begging that someone would go and tell their family members. We know this because these people here, we can see that they're already condemned. We see that they're condemned. We see that if you not accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're condemned. And we see the urgency behind this. You have some fools, and I use that word cautiously, but I I stand behind this word. You have some fools who will claim themselves to be God. You have all these atheists and agnostics that claim themselves to be God. Well, Ezekiel 28:9 says, "Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God? But thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee." One of these days, friend, you can claim yourself to be a God all you want, but you ain't no God. There's only one God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Could it be so bold as to say that someone that's dying and went to hell would say that he was a God in the hands of the Almighty God when he slays them? So we see that the reason of the man in hell, let's look at the concern of the man in hell. What was the rich man's concern while he was in hell? Well, the first thing was we see in, verse 23 and 24. It says, "And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments." That's more than one torment. "And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." I believe that's also a torment that he's seen. To see Lazarus being comforted in him, being in torments, that had to have also been one of the torments listed. In verse 24 it says, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The first thing we see here, the first thing he was concerned about and he cried out for was this unquenchable heat. He was in so much pain. He was thirsty. He was so thirsty that he just wanted just a drop of water. But the water never came. He was concerned about the never-ending fire. He was tormented in the flames every single second. And he's still tormented to this day. Mark chapter 9, verse 44, says, "Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." Not only is he burning and the fire and the heat is so unquenchable, but there's some worms there. "The worm dieth not." Verse 44, Matthew 25:30 says that, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." What do we see here? That he was also he had unquenchable fire. The heat was there. The torments. The worm that was there that was just consuming him. And we see here that it's outer darkness. Izzy, Riley, they cannot stand the dark. They absolutely cannot stand it. And heaven forbid the lights go out in a storm, because you will hear a level of pitch that goes higher than anything I've ever heard in my life. I don't know how I can hear sometimes. But when it comes to darkness, they don't do well with that. But we see here that it's called outer darkness. And I've been in some very dark places in my life. I've been in caves where I can't see my hand in front of my face. But this is outer darkness that these people are in. And the fire, and the heat, and the weeping, and the gnashing of teeth. Can you imagine, just imagine, 68,000 people. Just one day worth of people that died and went to hell without ever hearing the gospel. Just imagine 68,000 people weeping, crying, screaming. That's just one day that never heard the gospel. 68,000 people just weeping and crying, and that is for all eternity, in the gnashing of teeth. So much pain that they're biting down, and when they bite down, they're doing it so hard, they're gnashing their teeth. That is what's happening here. That's the picture that this man is in. He's in so much pain, he's concerned about himself. But once he realizes that the relief that he wants is never going to come. And friend, that's the most terrifying thing about someone that's dying and going to hell. That once they go to hell, there is no more hope for them. They have already been judged by a thrice holy God. And God is not going to, in loving and how great and wonderful he is. Yes, he's great and he's wonderful, but he is a just God. And friend, the day those people are never going to have the opportunity just to walk out of hell and be like, well, I've served my time. That's not what's going to happen, friend. This rich man that was burning in hell is still there. He's still lifting up his eyes. He was concerned about himself. Once he realized he wasn't going to get the relief he wanted, he was concerned about his brothers. But it was too late to be concerned about their eternal state. Once he was in hell, the prayers of this man would never be heard by Almighty God. But people in hell, are they more concerned about others going to hell than we as Christians are? I would have to say that, to our shame, that the people in hell are more likely more concerned about people dying and going to hell than most Christians will ever be in their lifetime. We need to get a burden for the lost. People are dying and going to hell every single day. I don't necessarily want to say chapter, but if you would, chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, there is no other chapters, just in case you were wondering. Most of you already know that, but for anyone on the internet, Jude 22 and 23 says, "And some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." We need some Christians that are going to get a little bit of unction about them. And yes, we need to have some compassion. But what do we hear most of the time in these modern churches? Well, Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus loves you in the way and the sin that you're in. And thank God Jesus loves us. Absolutely. Thank God that Jesus loves us and had compassion on us. But friend, we need some others that were going to come by. And the last part of 23, "and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire." We need some Christians that are going to go and try to get some people and grab them and try to shake them and get them out of the fire. There's too many people that are dying and going to hell each and every day. We need to get a hold of them. We need to get a hold of them. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. We need some Christians that are going to pull some people out of the fire. And then we see, lastly, the cry or the pleadings of the man in hell. The cries and the pleadings of the man in hell. What was the cries of the man in hell? He cried for mercy, but it was too late. He cried to the wrong person. Who does it say that he cried to? If I've been judged by Almighty God, and I'm in hell, and I'm facing the judgments, rightfully so, for my sins, and the only person that could do anything about it is God Almighty, I'm not going to look to you and say, "You, help me." No, that's not what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a hold of God. But what do we see here? He got a hold of the wrong person. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." As if Abraham was the one that sent him to hell. He cried to the wrong person. Not only did he cry to the wrong person, he cried at the wrong time. It was too late. It was too late to pray. And friend, for some of you tonight that are hearing this, either here in this building or via the internet, it may be too late for you if you wait. It may be too late for you to get saved. For this man, he's in hell, and it was too late for him to pray. Today is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 is the one that tells us that. We see that his cries were in vain. He was in eternal torment. Not only was he in the torment physically, but he's in the torment of knowing that no one was ever going to go and tell his brothers. He knew that his five brothers were on the way to hell, and no one was ever going to come. The one person that he wished would go would never go, could never go. His hope was in vain. And today, the prayers of those in hell, for some are crying out that they'll never let, don't let Jimmy come to this place of hell. I'm here and there's nothing I can do about it, but Jimmy, if he keeps going the way he's going, I see he's following my same steps. He's going to die and go to hell. He's going to be one of those 3,000 people by the end of this service that's going to die and go to hell. Send somebody to tell him. Please send somebody. If we could just listen for 5 minutes of the cries in hell. If we could just, as Christians, get a glimpse of what's going on in hell right now, I feel like it would change us. Before Abby and I, and we got all of our stuff and got it moved down to Kentucky, we got something in the mail, and it burdened my heart. It was a letter from the JWs, and it was also a book. It was a fancy-looking book, talking about Catholics and how Catholics are wrong. But in this letter, I was so shocked and so burdened that they're doing this. They don't have the truth, but they're doing this. And then this letter said, "Hello, Ryan Rhodes. We do want to come to you and invite you to church. And we want to let you know that there's a Jesus that loves you, but they don't serve the same Jesus we do. But there's a Jesus that loves you, and if you just believe in this, you can obtain salvation. But their salvation isn't the same way we obtain salvation. Theirs all based off works, and they're just involved in so much mumbo-jumbo and all this different stuff, but they are still, through all that's going on right now, people undoubtedly are scared with this pandemic that's going on, and they're scared with what's going on in politics and with the election. Everyone's just in a state of fear right now. But these people who don't have the truth, they don't know the truth, are going out and handwriting letters and sending them out to people. Well, when was the last time I handwrote a letter to somebody and said, God loves you, and if you never accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, repented of your sins, you're going to die and go to hell. But that's the bad news, but here's the good news. You can entrust in Him today. When was the last time I did that? Well, to my shame, I've never done it. But why is it that these people are doing it? But why is it that we don't hear that Baptists are doing that? In fact, I'm ashamed to be a Baptist down south, because did you know there's so many different types of Baptists? I didn't know that. I thought a Baptist was a Baptist. Well, I found out very quickly that is not the case, especially down there. You have some Baptists who are more Calvinistic. You have some that are on the total opposite side of things and more atheistic, I guess, if you want to say, than anything. You have some that are, they're just all over the place. I thought a Baptist was a Baptist. I thought we believed the same thing, but no, we don't. But yet, we have this letter that was sent to us from the JWs who are saying, we want you to be invited, and they were enthusiastic about it. I mean, when you read this, if you weren't saved and you didn't know any better, you'd be like, well, man, this is nice. When was the last time we did something like that? When were we concerned about the lost? When was the last time we told somebody? Like I said, 68,000 people a day without ever hearing the gospel last year died and went to hell. That was without ever hearing the gospel. Maybe, just maybe, we know that the people in hell, God's not going to hear their prayers. We know that. But maybe, just maybe, we can be the... Obviously, there's people in heaven that are praying, send so-and-so. Send so-and-so. Maybe we can be that person. Maybe if we get our hearts focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and understanding that people are dying and going to hell, maybe that saying will get in your head, there's one in hell and five on the way. Maybe, just maybe, we can reach somebody before it's too late. If a rich man had five brothers that were dying and going to hell, how many are in our life that you know? When was the last time we earnestly prayed for the lost? For our lost family? For our lost friends? When was the last time we did that? Do you have a concern for the lost? Do we see, do we have a desire for people not to go to hell? If we don't, now is the time to get that desire. Now is the time to get a hold of God and pray for that person that's dying and going to hell. I know there's too many of my family members that are dying and going to hell. That's family. That's blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh, that I know that are dying and going to hell. That's not friends. That's not people on the other side of the world. That's my own family. Like I said, I was able to name at least 10 people. Miss Abby was able to list at least 11 people just off the top of our heads. In our family. How many people are in our family that you know that are dying and going to hell. For this man, there was one in hell and five on the way. How many people in our life are dying and going to hell? I pray tonight that you would have a burden for the lost like never before. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for tonight, Lord. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that we'd have a burden for you, Lord, like never before. God, whenever I was studying this and you put this on my heart, Lord God, Lord, you pricked my heart in a lot of ways, Lord. I failed you in so many different ways. But God, I pray, Lord, that tonight that we would get a burden for you like never before. That, Lord, that if there's a soul that we know that's lost, Lord, Lord, I was able to think of just 10 people in my family, Lord. You know each and every one of them, Lord, that are lost and on their way to hell. God, I pray, Lord, that you get a hold of their hearts, Lord. Lord, I don't know when their last day on this earth is going to be. And God, Lord, I don't know when your mercy is going to run out, Lord, and take us out of this place, Lord, in the rapture, Lord. But God, I pray, Lord, tonight that you get a hold of their hearts, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that tonight we'd be able to have a burden for you, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that there's a person here, Lord, that does not know you as their Savior, Lord. Lord, we know that today is the day of salvation, Lord God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that they make that choice to follow you today. Lord, I want to thank you for your many blessings and your goodness, Lord. Your precious and only name I do pray. Amen.